take your Bible now and go to the book of Job. Just before the book of Psalms, Job chapter 8. We'll read one verse this morning in unison. Job chapter 8, we'll read verse number 11. Job chapter 8, verse number 11. We'll read it all together. This is the only verse in unison out loud this morning. Job chapter 8, verse number 11. Ready? Can the rush grow up without the mire? Can the flag grow without the water? Let's pray. Choir, you can come on up. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives. Lord, there's many times in our life where things are allowed to take place and we wonder the purpose. Lord, may we spend less time wondering why things happen, Lord, and focus on those promises that you've given us in your word and allow us to get through those things that you've allowed us to come to our lives so we can be a better testimony to those around us and be stronger Christians because of it. Lord, we ask all these things in your name, and would you please bless the service this morning? Amen.
Here in Job chapter 8, just one verse says, can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? The rush, or the bull rush, very similar to what we would know as a cat of nine tails. You all know what I'm talking about? Cat tail, something like, well, the ones that grow, not the ones that you cut. I mean, the bull rush was a swampy plant. It grew in water, it grew in running water or in stagnant water, but you could not grow a rush in regular dirt out in the middle of your yard. It has to be in a very wet, marshy, swampy kind of soil. It has a very deep root, and it branches out and keeps on multiplying, but it has to be in very soft soils in which to grow. Now, the bulrush had many uses. In the ancient times, they would use the bulrush, and they would take the stalks would be anywhere from 8 to 14 feet high. They're very long, very high, and they would take these and they could dry them out, and they would take the fibers that were in there and they would weave them into baskets or mats. They would also use it. By the way, that's what Moses' mother used to build the ark that floated Moses down the river that Pharaoh's daughter saw. She made a little ark out of bulrushes and wove that little boat and pitched it with pitch so that it would not leak. And that's how she made it. It's also where you would get the word papyrus or papyra paper. They would use the fibers and virtually weave it into paper, make it into paper. It was a very important plant. Matter of fact, they made shoes out of and sandals out of the plant. They made canoes and boats, and they would weave it into ropes. So it was a very useful plant, but here's the problem. Harvesting the bulrush meant you had to get into the mud to get to them. You couldn't grow it without the mud, and you can't harvest it without the mud. This means that according to Scripture, can the rush grow without the mire? We like the usefulness of things, but we don't like the process by which to get useful. We like the product of things, but we don't like the work involved in getting to the product. You see, sometimes you got to get in the mud, in the nasty, dirty water, to get to the things that are useful in life. You couldn't take the rush and pull it over from the bank and pull it out. Wouldn't work. You had to get down into the mud. You had to be sunk down into the mud, walking through it and sloshing through it. And if you've never walked in deep mud, you have no idea what that's like. When you got to post hole it all the way up to your knees or above, and usually you do it in the bare feet, because if you go in with shoes on, your shoes are stuck at the bottom of a hole and you're not getting them back. Now, let me try to help you with something here. I see that in the story here in Job chapter 8. Notice where Job's at in his life. Job is in the mire of life. Job has lost his health. Job has lost 10 children to death. 10 adult children taken in one event. Can you imagine losing 10 children all at once? Can you imagine losing your health? And I'm not talking about he just wasn't feeling well for a few weeks. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He had had other parts of his health affected. He lost every bit of wealth. Job was the richest man of the East, and he lost all of his wealth in one day. He lost 4 different businesses. He lost all of his employees. All of his employees were killed in the same day. People came and stole his businesses and killed his employees. He lost 10 children. He lost his health. He lost everything that he had. He lost his reputation. And he lost the loyalty of his wife. She said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Boy, that was a real comfort. In other words, Job is in the mire of life. But I want you to notice what God says. Can the rush grow up without the mire? You will never know the usefulness by God in your life, nor the great love of God in your life until you go through the mire. Let me say that again. You will never know the usefulness of God in your life, and you'll never know the great love of God in your life until you go through the mire of life. You're going to have to face the dirty, stinky, rotten mud to get to the point where the rush grows and God can make you useful. Everybody listen to this and look at me very carefully here. Whoever has the idea that once you become a Christian, all of your problem goes away is a liar. You were never promised an easy life because you got saved. You're still a sinner. Everybody around you is still a sinner, and there are still consequences for sin. You are going to have to go through the mire to grow the rush of life so that you become useful. You need the mire to grow as a child of God. Unless you have been in the mire, it's hard to understand someone else who's in the mire now. Did you hear that? You know what the great thing about our church is? We're a bunch of nobodies. We're a hospital where people come get help. We're not a museum where we're putting somebody on display. We're not a church of blue bloods. Shoot. I'm not even sure we got blood. We're just trying to make it. We're just trying to get here. I was talking to someone this morning. You don't need to know who it was, and I would not embarrass them or the situation. But they said, "Preacher, I got a family member, and they're hooked on something." And I said, "Good, get them in church." And they said, "We're trying." I'm glad we got a church to where that's acceptable. Amen. Not what they're doing, but for them to come here so we can give them help. Right. Isn't that what it's all about? Right. A very wealthy man this week. I'll tell you who it was. It was Mr. McMillan. He said to me, he said, "Let me guess, Pastor." He said, "You're trying to get all these first responders here because you're trying to help those who don't have a church or whose church isn't servicing them like they need, and you'd like to help them, correct?" I said, "That's it." He said, "I can help them then." He said, "I'll help push them your way." Thank God for that. Thank God for that. You see, unless you've been in the mire, it's hard for you to understand somebody else that's in the mire. And by the way, some of you need to look back and remember the mire you came from. Before you get your nose stuck too far in the air, just remember something. You were a sinner too. Everybody doing all right? See, you won't be able to help somebody else who's in the mire unless you understand what it's like to be in the mire. In other words, there's not a child of God anywhere that will amount to much until they go through the mire of life. I'm not saying that that mire is always something of a sinful nature. Sometimes it's going through the mire of death with family members. Sometimes it's going through the mire of sickness with children. Sometimes it's going through the mire of the raising of an afflicted child. Can I tell you something? You won't amount to much in life, and you won't grow as the rush grows unless you go through the mire. Let me help you this morning. I've got just a little while here. Number one, it's in the mire where we grow in life. Let me make that statement again. It's in the mire, in the mud, we grow in life. You don't grow in times of ease. You grow in the mud. You grow in the mire. No struggle, no growth. No problems, no growth. Can I tell you something? There's nobody in this church more upset about our bus situation than I am, I promise you. I don't get depressed, but I sure do get a little discouraged because I feel like I let everybody down. Now, I could sit here in the mully grubs and push my lower lip out and mope around here, or I can say, let's rally the troops, let's go get everybody we can get, and let's go forward. Yes. I'm not going to let it stop me. Hang on, I'm trying not to sneeze. Held it back. Here we go. That might come out later, but it's gone for the moment. You don't grow in times of ease. You grow in the mire. Seeds of faith are planted in the mire. And you won't grow that faith without the mire. Hey, it wasn't Jesus living a perfect life to where you respect him. It's the fact that he went through Calvary and the mire that you respect. It's the time of struggle and opposition wherewith we grow, not the times of peace and prosperity. You know, America became great because of struggle, not because of ease. We are a greater nation because of the struggles we go through. And I'm not talking about the falsified ones by the press. The only ones guilty of treason and crimes, high crimes and other misdemeanors are the Democrats for this impeachment sham.
Right. Amen.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. You know your enemy and how they are by how they judge you.
Right.
The very things they have put the president on trial for, they're guilty of.
Right.
They're trying to cover themselves by blaming somebody else. And he's just decided he'd show you who the swamp is and he'd go through it. Well, there's no witnesses that have been called. They called 18 witnesses in the House.
Right.
There's over 28,000 pages of documentation that they have gone through. By the way, all the witnesses were called for the opposition to the president and none were allowed to be called for the president. And even with 18 witnesses and 28,000 pages of documentation, 24 hours of Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler running their stupid mouth, guess what? Still no conviction. And for them to say and stand in front of the American people and say, if you reelect him, it's not going to be accepted by us. In other words, they're guilty of treason against the Constitution of the United States of America. For Chuck Schumer to get up and say he has to prove himself innocent goes against the Constitution.
That's right.
Constitution says you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
They have no proof. By the way, President Trump is growing. He's growing as a leader. He's growing in popularity. Shoot, the Iowa caucus is taking place this week. Some of those people can't fill up a Starbucks. President Trump had a rally out there with over 100,000 people trying to get in. He was in southern New Jersey last week. Cobalt blue New Jersey. Liberal New Jersey. Highest taxes in the country, New Jersey. They had a 7,500-seat auditorium, and they had requests for 175,000 tickets. There was 100,000 people waiting outside the building just to get a look.
That's right.
They can't fill up a Starbucks. I told my wife, I saw just a little bit of the news. I said, look at these rooms where these candidates are at. Our Sunday school rooms are about half the size of the rooms, and they can't fill them up. Now, the press won't tell you that. Just pay attention, though. It's in the pain we grow, not in the ease. Did you ever notice they call it growing pains, not growing ease? You grow by pain. He who struggles in college and with education is going through the mire to gain growth. I'm for getting good grades, but can I say something? If it comes natural, you're going to hit a wall one of these days. You go through the mire of boot camp to become a great warrior. You're not a great warrior without boot camp. How about you hold your chin up and praise God for the mire? How about you decide, instead of sitting there whining and crying and bellyaching about the mud, that you pick your chin up and say, bless God, I'm going to grow. There are too many people sucking their thumb in the mud, and God wants you to grow. You would not know of the patience of Job had it not been for the mire he went through. Number two, are you ready? Hang on. Those who give the most are the ones who have gone through the mire. Those who give the most are those who have gone through the mire. Just look this way. Let me give you a name. Dr. Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson grew up in the coal mines of Kentucky. Now, he's given hundreds of millions of dollars to the work of God. But he didn't go from house to gold mine. He went from coal mine to gold mine. Have you ever been in a coal mine? It is the dirtiest, nastiest, cold, dank, dark place you've ever been in your life. And I mean, they are filthy. How many of you have ever been in one? I have. Coal mines are bad. And did you ever grab a bag of charcoal? You know how it gets all, can you imagine breathing that all day long? Now, listen to this very carefully. Russell Anderson didn't have a life of ease till he went through the mud. Russell Anderson got tired of working in the coal mines. Russell decided, I'm going to do something else with my life. Started working in construction, found out he was pretty good at it. Put a crew together and built his own construction company. Then he got tired of contractors who were and suppliers who were just shamming him here and there, so he started his own sheetrock company. Then he started his own lumber company. Started 7 different businesses and became a multimillionaire out of all 7 of those. Then he started buying up properties, becoming, I think at one time he owned around 700 or 800 different properties. Say, what was that? He had to go through the mire. By the way, declared bankruptcy about 2 or 3 times in the process. I'm going to embarrass somebody here and they're not going to be happy, but that's okay. Take a Leanne Lopez. You don't know her like I know her. She's had to struggle through most of her life. She grew up with just her mom and her sister, I think, sisters. She went to Bible college, didn't have any help. She had to work her way through Bible college, struggle after struggle after struggle, wondering where the next payment's coming from. Got married to Joe and got worse. Got married to Joe. Joe started having grand mal seizures. At one time, Joe was having up to 30 plus seizures a day. Now, I'm not talking about little tremor seizures. I'm talking about the big ones. I've picked Joe up off the floor. I've mopped Joe's blood. Remember the day he went through the glass doors? Busted his head through the glass doors and glass everywhere. He's flopping on the ground. People are getting, I said, don't call 911. It'll be okay. It's just Brother Joe. I got him. He said, you're cold-hearted. No, I knew how to calm the situation. I remember the day she called me. She said, Joe was sitting at the table and he went back in his chair, got stuck between the hutch and his chair while he was in a seizure, and his chin busted his collarbone in 7 different places. You know, we were going to get him one of those bubble suits and a crash helmet just to walk around in. She's been through a lot. She had to go through the mire. But look how she loves those bus kids. She has given her life to help those bus kids. Say, why would she do that? Because she knows what it's like to be in the mire. Wasn't pleasant. But look what God's done. Between Sunday school and church, she ran up to me. She said, preacher, visitor came in this morning. I got to lead her to the Lord after Sunday school. Wished you could have seen the smile. Well, he hadn't made all the mud worthwhile. Again, I've not asked for permission. But you take a Mike and Arlene Schenenberger. They've been through the mire. I won't tell it all. But they've lost 2 adult sons to death in their early 20s. Mike's got a handicapped son. Educable slow. Philip's a good boy. I like him. He's my buddy. But we'll never be what you and I would call normal. Shoot, I'm not even sure what normal is. They've been through other issues. That we, I remember when Arlene was mowing because Mike wouldn't do it, and she flipped the riding lawnmower on top of herself. I'm teasing. Not that she did it, but Mike wouldn't do it. You wonder why they love those bus kids like they do? You wonder why Arlene spends her own money and about once every 2 or 3 weeks, she comes in with a bag full of Bibles for me and says, preacher, these are for people who don't have one. There's people all over this church that have gotten Bibles because of that lady right there, and you don't even know it. Say, why? Because they've been through the mud and the mire. Ask Mike his testimony. Didn't get saved till he was 26, 27. Commode-hugging drunk, I think is the term you use. I didn't use it. He did. Been through the mire. You take an Evan Barnes. You wonder why you ask Evan Barnes to help you and he's there no matter what. Those of you that were at the rehab center, was it last Saturday? I don't remember. Time's kind of... Evan Barnes is a young man. About time he turned 16 years old, lived in his car for several years, homeless, been in drugs and alcohol, been through the mire. You want to know why he's so quick to help somebody? Because he's been there when nobody would help him. Oh, you see the polished man of an Evan Barnes and the caring and whatever you need, preacher, whatever you need. You need my truck? Or in the case of me cutting my knee with a chainsaw, preacher, are you bleeding out? You need me to call 911? Evan, did I call you? Yes, sir. If I could call you, I could call 911. Don't worry. Gotcha. Don't worry. Still got it. Amen. I only cut the skin on my kneecap. I just grazed the bone. But I was done cutting wood for the day. Say, why is he so willing to help? Because if you've been through what he's been through, I wonder why he loves those 4th through 6th grade kids like he does and pours his life into that Sunday school class. I tell you. Because when he was their age, he wished he had somebody that loved on him like he does. We have people in this church. I will not use names. You grew up with little to nothing. Poor as Job's turkey. Or as Dr. Anderson would say, so poor that you couldn't even pay attention. I mean, you grew up in poverty. Some of you are old enough, you grew up through the end of the Depression. And yet, God helped you succeed through your adult life. Some of the best givers this church has is from people who had nothing when they were young. I mean that. I don't look at the giving, but I know who they are. Say why? Because they know what it's like to not have anything. Some of the first people to say, oh, preacher, does somebody need help with the Valentine banquet? Some young person need help with going to youth conference? I'll help. Say, who is that? Somebody had nothing when they were young and they've been through the mire of poverty. They might not have wealth, but they've got a little extra that they're willing to help with. Say, what is that? You've got to go through the mire to learn how to give. Most of that book was penned by people who went through the mire. Did you ever look at the lineup of people who God used to pen the Bible? You talk about people in the mud, in the mire. Let's face it. You take the Apostle Paul. Look at all the things that Paul went through. How about King David? Moses, Daniel, Jeremiah, Job, Noah, Esther, Ruth. Look at the disciples. You look at who God used to pen that book right there. Do you realize the three men that composed most of the Bible, as far as writing goes, all three of them were guilty of murder? Moses, David, and Paul. Some of you wouldn't go hear them preach because they had a bad past. God said, I'll use them to write the word of God. No one likes the mire, but we need it. May I say something? Don't transplant yourself. Stay in the mire. Don't try to pull yourself up by the roots and put down in another soil. Stay where you are. And you will be useful. Amen. I don't mean this to sound pious. I don't mean this to sound arrogant. But I kind of pity people who have not been in the mire. I kind of pity people who have not had to go through the mire. Because you will someday. Most great churches were built by pastors who went through the mire. The Lee Robertsons, Brother Hiles, Lester Roloff, J. Frank Norris, Charles Spurgeon, J. Hudson Taylor, Adonira Judson. I could go on and on and on. Most great songs. Toss me your songbook there. Come on, hurry up. There you go. Most of the songs in that songbook were written by people going through the mire. How many of you know the name Fanny Crosby? She wrote about half your songbook. Fanny Crosby was blind. When she was 3 days old, the doctor put the wrong drops in her eyes and she was blind the rest of her life. I think Fanny Crosby wrote somewhere around 200 or 300 songs. Many of the great songs you sing, you'll see at the top, F. Crosby or Fanny Crosby. A blind lady. There's a man who wrote a song in your songbook, the song No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, written by a man named Charles Weigel. Charles Weigel was a pastor. Charles Weigel was pastoring a church, was in his, probably in his late 30s, early 40s. He came home one day, and the house was empty. On the kitchen table it said, "Charles, I no longer want to be a pastor's wife. I've taken the children and we're moving away and you'll never see us again." Charlie Weigel, for decades, without a wife. Lived to be in his late 90s. But he wrote the song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." Say, where'd that come from? The mire. It didn't come in days of ease. The song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, to save a wretch like me. That wasn't written in times of ease. It was written in times of the mire. So, not only do you learn to give in the mire, not only do you grow only in the mire, but number three, I'm about ready to shout. Brother Jimbo, God shows himself to those who are in the mire, not on the mountaintop. Do you know that you find God when you're in the mire more than you do when you're on the mountaintop? You know, God only ever met one man on the mountaintop, and that was Moses. Hey, God met with Noah. "I need you to build me an ark." It wasn't in times of goodness. He said, "Build this boat, and as soon as you get it done, I'm going to destroy the world because the world's so bad." You think the world is bad now? God said he wasn't coming back at the rapture till it was like the days of Noah. It's been worse than it is now because Jesus hadn't come back yet. God didn't come to Noah in days of ease. He came in times of the mire. How about Lot? God came to Lot to get him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't when things are going well. Matter of fact, it was going so bad that when they left, God told him, "Don't turn around while I'm destroying it." That his wife turned around, she became a pillar of salt. His children were so corrupted by Sodom and Gomorrah that after that took place, he had only two of his daughters left with him. They both had a physical relationship with their father and had children from their father. Where'd they learn it? In Sodom and Gomorrah. What? It didn't happen in times of ease. Happened in the mud. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Boy, things were really going good for him, weren't they? Made a law that you couldn't pray. Daniel opened his window and prayed like he had before. They took him and threw him at almost 80 years old, threw him into a lion's den. Threw him into a den full of hungry lions. Put the lid on top, and the king worried all night long. Came back the next morning and they said, "Daniel, are you in there?" And he was all cuddled up next to the mane of a couple lions sleeping. They pulled him out. And the very people that brought that law to the king changed the law and then had them thrown in. And the Bible says before they hit the ground, the lions had crushed their bones. Same group of lions. How about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Wouldn't bow, wouldn't bend to the knee, to the 90-foot statue of Nebuchadnezzar. They faced a fiery furnace. They bound them up. Furnace was so hot that when they opened the door, the people that were going to throw them in burnt up. Had to get more people to push them in the fire. They pushed these three Hebrew men into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he said, "Fellas, how many did we put in?" They said, "Three." He went, He said, "I see four." He said, "Weren't they bound?" They said, "They were bound." He said, "They're loose and they're walking around." And he called into the fire and said, "Fellas, why don't you come back out?" Three came out. Say, who is the fourth? Nebuchadnezzar said, "The fourth is like the Son of God." Jesus was in the fire with him. That wasn't a time of ease. Can you imagine getting thrown into a furnace? I don't know about you, but that's not the way I want to go. Stephen, when he was in Lystra, was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. Boy, that's really going good, wasn't it? How about Paul? He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was thrown into prison more times than he was checked into the hotel. He would go to town and check himself into the prison and say, "I'll be back after a while, fellas." Joshua, while facing the enemy, going into Canaan land, it wasn't going real good. Can you imagine your job is to go in and conquer the Canaan land? With a bunch of whiny, complainy Jews. David had to face Goliath. Then he had to face Saul chasing him for the next 23 years. Grace Baptist Church, our churches face some tough times. We have faced, we're not sure how to get it all done. We have faced the times where I made sure the secretary got paid, but I didn't take paycheck. We faced the times where we weren't sure whether we're going to have a place to meet or not. And yet, look around. Look what God's done. God used those hard times to help us get to where we are right now. May I say this and I'll be done. You stay in the mire and God can use you someday. Maybe God wants to turn you into a rope to pull somebody out who's fallen down and to lift them up. Well, then God, you make me into whatever you want me to be. If you want me to be a rope, I'll do it. Maybe God will use you one day to be a boat to carry the next Moses. Maybe God's going to use you to be a boat to deliver a man of God who will deliver God's people. You stay in the mire long enough and you might be the one to put shoes on cold feet. You stay in the mire long enough and you might be the paper on which the words of God are delivered. I don't know what God has for you, but I will say this. You'll have to go through the mire to get it. I love our young people. But young people, listen to me. This old man's old enough to understand something. Life's real good for you right now, but it's going to get tough. One of these days you're going to be a mama or a daddy and it's going to be your child that's sick. It's going to be your child like it was for Brother Joe and Ashley. When Gus was born, they said, "Oh, he'll be retarded and he'll never be able to speak. He'll never say a word. He'll just be a vegetable the rest of his life. Well, bless God, he's in junior church right now, getting more than most. He's going to be my church greeter one day. I remember them telling me, Joe told me, he said, doctors told us he's not going to amount to anything. I said, Joe, Jesus can make a difference. By the way, we're pretty sure, we're 99.99% sure he's gotten saved. And we're fixing to baptize him here before too long. And you talk about having a spell. Remember that he's autistic, and autistic young people don't like touching. But I wiggled my way into Gus's heart. I remember the day he came up the steps at Aiken Center, of all places. And I said, Gus, shake my hand. And he came up the steps. Shook my hand. Week after week. But I remember the day, Brother Joe, you and Ashley were behind him, and he ran up the steps. And I didn't say anything to him, but he came up the steps like this. And I watched Ashley begin to weep. She said, that's the first time he's ever on his own shaking anybody's hand. Got to go through the mire. But I'll take the mire. Can I tell you something? You young people, listen to me. This old preacher's had to take the baby out of an arms of a mama when that baby died. I've had to take that cold, blue little one out of a mama's arms and hand it to a nurse to take to the morgue. It's not pleasant. Can I tell you something? That's where you grow. That's the mire. I've caught the tears of a sobbing family as somebody who we think passed too soon passed. But that's where you grow. I've caught the tears of a mom and a dad where their young person disappointed them bad. But that's where you grow. I don't like the mud. I don't like the smell. I don't like the filth. I don't like how it sticks to you. I don't like how hard it is to get in and out of it. But if that's what it takes to be used by God, I'll go through the mire any day. I got a phone call this week. I got two phone calls this week. I have a pastor friend who's just getting attacked. I mean attacked. To the point where he had to call the police. They've threatened his life. They've threatened his family's life. They've taken out Facebook accounts in his church's name that aren't legitimate and calling the pastor a wife beater and a child molester and everything under the sun. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I gave him the truth, I guess gave you today. Got a phone call on Friday, pastor friend of mine. He said, Brother Bush, man, I got a mess. He said, I got a young lady in her early 20s that works at this company with three other men, and one of the men murdered one of her coworkers and then cut the hand off of another one. He said, got any advice? Folks, I don't make these stories up. I couldn't think of stuff like that. Trust me. These things happen. Sometimes you got to go through the mire to help people. But can I tell you something? We're going to bring a whole bunch of people in here that we're going to get out of the mire. They're going to be rushes that are going to grow in the mire. Oh, they don't know how to behave in church like you do. They haven't been in church since Noah got off the ark. Sometimes they're going to be a little different than what you want them to be, but just give them time to grow. Can the rush grow without the mire? Let me make this statement. You only see the end of successful people. You don't see the struggle and the failure and the mire they had to go through to get successful. You only see the success. You don't see all the failure along the way. You don't see all the mud along the way. You see, you only see that which is above the surface, not what is below the surface. You look at success and say, boy, if I had that, life would be much better. How'd you like to go through what they went through to get there? Success is not an end, it's a journey. Thank God. Thank God Jesus stayed in the mire to give us Calvary. For without a Calvary, there is no resurrection. Without a Calvary, there is no salvation. Without a Calvary, there is no indwelling of the Holy Spirit to the children of God. Thank God for the mire. Can the rush grow without the mire? May I say this? You need the mud. You need the mud. Let's quit complaining about it. Let's pick our chins up and let's decide we're going to grow and become useful because of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. You'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure. I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put those hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. If you raised your hand a moment ago and said, God's working on you, there's something you needed, how about we get up from our seat if we're physically able to and move to this altar and kneel at an old-fashioned altar? Maybe you just need to let God keep you in the mud a while. Maybe you just need to decide you're going to endure the mud to become useful.